All right. We're going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Malachi. Malachi, Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Malachi chapter 3. As most of you are aware, the Lord answered our prayers and heard back from Dr. Liberman, and he's going to have a phone appointment with me on Friday at 11 o'clock. So pray for that. He'll let me know whether he is able to do the reconstructive surgery needed on my urethra. So just pray that if it be the Lord's will, that he'd be able to do it, he'd be willing to do it, and would be able to schedule it so it can get done and healed before they resume radiation treatment on the cancer on my lymph nodes down there. So thank you for praying, and try to keep you informed of what's happening. And praise the Lord, I feel strong, and Lord's had me recover quite well from the last surgery. Out of the many that I've had the experience of having. So praise the Lord for that. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, we're going to look at especially, as well as some other passages. As you can see in your bulletin, try to list some of those other passages for us. And that way you can find them readily. In the previous message in this series on biblical stewardship, we went back to the first mention of tithing and noticed that it was an act of worship long before there was a nation of Israel. Not only that, we saw in Matthew 23, verse 23, the Lord Jesus did not abolish the practice of tithing, but rather pointed out the need to make sure our hearts are right with God and that we desire to display his character qualities in our lives instead of just focusing on obeying only one of his commands, like tithing. We also learned that tithing has always been God's appointed means, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, for supporting the worship of God, the house of God, and the servants of God. This morning, we'll focus on the faith of giving. You may remember from our reading in Malachi last week that God issued a challenge to his people in verses 10 through 11. So if you're not already there, would you turn to Malachi chapter 3 while I get my glass of water? When I lived in Kenya, East Africa, there were a lot of British people there, and they would call it water. Okay. Malachi chapter 3, beginning of verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. Notice that phrase, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. I know that some of you over this past year have faithfully obeyed God's challenge to test him in this, and you've seen him prove himself faithful in meeting your needs as you proved yourself faithful in giving back to him the tithe that he commands. Some of you have been doing this for years. Praise the Lord for that. I am praying that you who have proven the Lord to keep his word in the matter of tithing will now be willing to move on to the next level of trust and faith in our faithful God. The next area of giving is not a matter of simple obedience to a command, as tithing is. As I said last week, tithing is very easy. You just move the decimal point over one place, and there you've got it. You know, you don't have to do anything, any fancy math. This next area of giving is a step of growth in our love for and trust in our wonderful Lord, who is a giving God. Remember John 3:16? Hope you have memorized that. For God so loved the world that he, what's the next word? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a wonderful giving God, the greatest gift of all, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, given so that we could have salvation. Notice how God supplied the needs of the Philippian believers as they gave toward the needs of Paul the Apostle, Paul the missionary, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. In fact, why don't you go ahead, keep your place in Malachi, but turn to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Philippians 4, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, before we examine the faith of giving in detail, let me caution some of you who may be viewing faithfulness in tithing as a means to bribe God into overlooking disobedience in some other area of your life. Please understand that God cannot be bribed, and God may bring financial difficulties into your life to get your attention about some sin of commission or omission you are failing to confess and forsake. So, having said that, let's examine the faith of giving. First, let's review briefly what we learned in the previous message in this series. Remember that this series of messages on biblical stewardship is giving what the Bible teaches about personal finances, because God speaks about everything in our lives. And I hope that you will stay through all six of these messages in this series, some of which will not finish till January. So in Malachi 3:8, God treats offerings in the same category as tithes. They were not optional, these offerings. Both tithes and offerings were owed to God, and failure to give them was the same as stealing from God. We also see that whereas tithes are quantified, in other words, 10% of your income, offerings are not quantified. The amount you choose to give demonstrates your faith in God's faithfulness to supply your needs, and it also demonstrates your love for and gratitude to God. And finally, we see that whereas the tithes are to be used by the local church for the support and maintenance of the worship of God, the house of God, and the servants of God, the offerings are to be used, first of all, for the initial purchaser building or renovation of a house for God and all the needed equipment and furniture that goes with that. Secondly, for the spread of the gospel. And thirdly, for helping believers in other locations who have a special need. So, with that review of tithes and offerings, in this message, we'll concentrate on the offerings. So, let's examine the faith aspect of the offerings. In a sense, even tithing requires a measure of faith. The less your income, the more faith you will need in order to believe God will provide. It will also require faith to give his tithe first, right off the top, not waiting to see whether or not you will have enough left over at the end of the week or end of the month to give it. But in another sense, tithing requires the discipline of living within your means. And I may say right here that apparently this is a very difficult concept for people these days. I'm really surprised. Maybe I'm of the older generation. Okay, I'm almost 69 years old, okay. But I'm just astonished that people do not live within their means. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Okay? But we'll get to that in the two messages from now in underspending. Okay, we've covered income. We are now in the middle of giving, and the next message will be on spending. So that's to come. But anyway, the discipline of living within your means, tithing would fit into that category, knowing that the tithe is part of your financial obligations, part of your budget. However, giving an offering above your tithe in a way that glorifies God requires a special kind of faith. And that is what we'll focus on in the remainder of this message. Please understand, I am addressing those who have trusted Christ as Savior. You're born again. You're born into God's family by faith in Christ, as we read about in John chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus said, "You must be born again." He said that to Nicodemus. How many of you remember that? Okay, John chapter 3. Well, you have to be born into God's family by repenting of your sins and trusting Christ alone to save you from sin and hell. Now, keep in mind, this giving is something addressed to Christians, to believers, those who are born again, those who have trusted Christ as Savior. This is not addressed to unsaved people. Whenever we have unsaved visitors come in, I don't want them to feel like somehow we're twisting their arms that they have to give. You don't, okay? This is for Christians, just telling you what God says about what he wants us to do. Now, even an unsaved person can give something when a collection is taken, whether this takes place in a church or club or people come into your door with a cause or a need, or when you receive a request in the mail. How many of you have received a request in the mail recently? Yeah, I could put two hands up on that one. Okay. This requires no faith. It simply requires you reaching into your pocket to see what you have or calculating what you have available in your checking account. So that doesn't take faith. In contrast to giving by calculation, let's call it, that is giving according to what you have, giving by faith is giving according to what you do not have and entering into a faith relationship with God that pleases him greatly. So I would like to ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All right, then turn to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints, that is, for those Christians who were in need. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now, there is a place for giving by calculation to the Lord. That is, giving according to what you have. If the Lord has blessed you with extra that you don't need for your living expenses, then what an opportunity you have to demonstrate your love for the Lord by using some of that surplus as he guides you to meet needs. So there is a place for giving by calculation to the Lord, but what we want to encourage here especially is giving by faith. Let's call it faith giving or a faith offering. Faith giving is consistent with faith living, which God also requires of every believer. You don't have to turn here if you don't want, but let me just read these quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And Romans 14, verse 23, whatever is not from faith is sin. Then back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. This is especially in the context of salvation, going to God, trusting him for that gift of salvation. It cannot be earned, it cannot be paid for, it cannot be suffered for. It is a gift from God to be received by faith. Giving by faith is not giving by calculation. Okay, so now we're distinguishing the two here. I don't ask God how I can fit this into my budget. Please understand me, faith giving is impossible for an unbeliever. If you're listening to this message and are saying, there's no way I can give that way, then it could very well expose the fact that you do not know the Lord personally. To one who does not have a personal relationship with the Lord, this seems like pure foolishness. But if you know the Lord as your Savior, you will be thinking, of course this is possible. God can do anything. Giving by faith is asking God to tell you how much He wants to give through you and then trusting Him to provide it. By the way, He will not speak to you out loud. If you hear voices, that's probably not from God, okay? Understand that. But He will make it clear in your heart and mind. I remember when I was asking God to give me some indication whether Brenda was the woman that I was to marry. And I did not hear any voices. I did not see any written messages in the sky, but the Lord gave me a settled assurance that this is what He wanted for me. And praise the Lord, He gave her that same settled assurance. And we've been married for, ooh, can't remember how many years, but lots. Okay. So trusting Him, when you're entering into this adventure of faith with God, you must realize that you are dealing with His money, not yours. You don't want to be guilty of spending God's money early, then finding that you can't give it to Him at the end of the month because you've already spent it on something else, Tim Hortons or whatever. Just like the tithe, you give your faith offering first and trust God to meet your other needs because He has promised to keep His word. Did you notice as we read the promise in Philippians chapter 4, 19, that God would supply your needs, that it was written to those who already were giving to the cause of missions? We notice in Scripture that there's planning and purpose of heart that goes into this faith giving. We too will follow that principle, and therefore, together as a church, we will be able to plan how many missionaries we can support this coming year and for how much we can support each missionary. As you individually, by praying, find out from the Lord what He wants to give through you each week or month over and above your tithes, you will have an opportunity to indicate that on a faith-giving commitment card. How many here understand what a faith-giving commitment card is? Okay. How many have seen some on the back table? Okay. If you haven't, then go look in the back table, not right now, but after the service, and you'll see those cards. You will not put your name on this card because this is a promise between you and the Lord. We're not going to come knocking on the door and say, hey, you put that. No, we don't do that here. Okay. Just between you and the Lord. This is for your record, for your reminder. No one's going to come to you and require you to give it because no one will know what a monthly amount you personally wrote down. But the total of the amounts on all the cards that are anonymous will help us as a church to know how many missionaries and missions projects the Lord wants to support through Faith Baptist Church this coming year. To me, it's a great encouragement that even though we're such a small church, just a small congregation, yet there are three missionaries or missionary families that we support for $200 a month, including the Barasingars, who are missionaries in Africa, and they have an orphanage. And what a blessing that God has enabled us to be a help in this way because of your faith giving. Before I close this message, I want to point out another opportunity that comes with faith giving. Most children do not have a job and therefore have an opportunity to tithe only at rare times in the year when they receive gifts of money for their birthday or Christmas. I remember as a child of missionary parents in Kenya that I only got, money basically once a year, or well, twice a year, birthday and Christmas. And therefore, if I got $10 for Christmas, then I would take $1 of that and give that to the Lord as tithe. However, children, even as young as 7 years old, have a wonderful opportunity to enter into this adventure of faith and see God give through them as they ask Him to show them the amount He will enable them to give to this faith offering. I do exhort any child under 13 years old to make sure you talk this over with your mom and dad and be guided by their advice. They will be able to evaluate best whether or not you are doing this carefully and prayerfully. But by the same token, parents, don't underestimate the faith of your child and their simple trust in a God who can do the impossible. Your child's faith may put your own faith to shame. To summarize, today we focused on the principles of faith giving. Next week, I'll continue this message on faith giving and get into the practical side of it, the practice of faith giving. We'll try to be detailed enough so that even the young people of our church family will be able to enter into this practical aspect and outworking of a life of faith. So would you bow your head and close your eyes? As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Just a moment, I'll close this message with prayer. But before I do, I would encourage you to respond to the Holy Spirit's working in your heart through His word that you've heard this morning. Christian, are you obeying the Lord in the matter of tithing? If you could not honestly answer yes, would you confess that to the Lord right now? Now, if you are obeying the Lord in the matter of tithing, or you have just gotten that settled with the Lord, maybe last week, and if you haven't understood it fully, would you go back to last week's message on our webpage and listen to it again to clear up any confusion you may have? Or maybe you've just settled that with the Lord recently. Has the Lord begun to work in your heart in the matter of faith giving? Even though only the basic principle of it has been covered this morning, has the Lord been speaking to your heart and showing you that you need to enter into this aspect of a life of faith? Are you looking forward to this opportunity to grow in your relationship with your great God? If the Lord's speaking to your heart about these things and you want me to be your witness that you are making the decision to obey the Lord in this, would you let me know by raising your hand so that I can pray for you? I'll not point you out, won't ask you to come forward, won't embarrass you in any way, but I will pray for you privately. And I'll pray if God's speaking to your heart. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? God's speaking to my heart, Pastor. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Perhaps the Lord has shown you in the course of this message that you are not 100% sure that you are a child of God. You're not sure that all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven and that you have eternal life. But you want to make sure of this. Would you let me know by raising your hand so that I can pray for you? Pastor, Would you please pray for me? God bless you. Amen. I see that hand. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure, not 100% sure that I'm saved, but I want to make sure. Oh, bless your heart. The Lord will show you through His Word if you'll give me a chance to take the Bible and show it to you. If you're listening on Zoom or later on our website, would you let me know that you want help to make sure of your salvation? Please contact me. The contact information is there on our website. I'm always glad to help you, point you to the Bible to see what God's Word says about it. Not what I think, not what I want, but what God says about it in His Word, the Bible. So please, if you're needing some help with this, please contact me. If you're here, would you approach me after the service is over and say, would you show me from the Bible how to make sure of salvation? If you're on Zoom or you're listening to this later on our website, would you contact me by email or in some way so that I can set up a time to talk with you, even on Zoom or some other way? I want you to make sure of salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. And it would be horrible if you missed out on this free gift because of pride or because you were too shy. So please make sure of this. We want to help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you are a giving God. As John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you are a giving God about everything. Thank you, Lord, that you not only gave salvation as a free gift if we would repent and trust you, Savior, but you also give the things that we need to live and to obey you in our lives. Father, you are a wonderful God, and I'm so thankful that I trusted Jesus to save me when I was 7 years old. And Lord, I thank you for all the many years since then, 62 years almost, of the way that you have provided for my needs, that you've given me a wonderful wife, four wonderful children, six wonderful grandchildren, and that you give me so much each day to meet my needs. Father, I pray that you would help each one here who knows you as Savior. I pray, Father, that you would encourage their hearts to be a giving child of God, just like our Heavenly Father. I pray, Father, that you would encourage us, that you'd stir up our faith to trust you. And Lord, may we have the joy of adding another missionary to the three that we support now. And Lord, I pray that you would just show it by your power, by your wonderful working in hearts and helping us to be able to do this. Father, we are so thankful for the building that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the people that you've given us. Lord, I pray for those who aren't able to be here. So many are missing, and I pray, Father, that you would keep them safe, that you would keep them close to you, that you would bless them, that you would encourage their hearts. And Lord, may we have the joy of seeing them next Sunday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.